And it is Friday at 4 o'clock. It is time to enter Entertainment Court with Richard Krause.
Order in the Entertainment Court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Judge Krause, we have co-juror producer Ben Harrison with us. Happy Friday.
I'm excited.
Thank you.
Judge Krause, may I approach the bench?
Of course.
What is our first case?
Okay, so during the pandemic, when you went to live theater, when there was live theater to go to, and I realized that wasn't all the time, you weren't given a program. You couldn't have a drink because you couldn't take your mask off. You couldn't eat anything because you couldn't take your mask off. But they weren't handing out programs. Instead, there were QR codes that you could scan, and it essentially would just come up and tell you who was in the play, maybe a little bit about the play, but it was pretty bare bones. Now that we are on the other side of that, people are wondering, will programs come back? Do you really feel that we need to print programs and hand them out to everyone, or are QR codes enough? So that's my question. Are you on team QR code or are you on team program?
I'm on team program all the way. Let me tell you, my girlfriend is a huge Broadway fan and she collects all of the programs for the shows that she's seen. I miss when TIFF had, when the Toronto Film Festival had that big book you would get every year and you could read the whole description of every movie and some behind the scenes info. I miss having those books. So yeah, I'm team program all the way.
Judge Krause, just the other day, you are very familiar with the News Talk 1010 newsroom. I found a phone book from 1999 to 2000.
Wow.
Yeah. A 23-year-old phone book. And
It
took me back to those days of when we printed things and we justified them. I'm sorry, but I am team QR code.
Mm.
If only because it is a waste of printing.
Is it a waste in printing, though? Here's my verdict. I just got back from New York City where I saw three shows on Broadway and literally minutes ago just finished putting the programs from those shows into my special Playbill folders that sit here proudly on my shelf. It's nerdy, I know, but I have the programs from almost every live show that I've ever seen. They're all tucked away in those binders. They provide a great scrapbook of memories of all the shows that I've seen. During the pandemic, when the theaters were open, they used the QR codes that had just all the usual information. That was understandable. Now that we've moved past that, I think we've got to get back to the printed programs for live theater. I want to read about how many episodes of Law and Order the actors have all been in. I want some background on the play. I want the feel of the program in my hands. If we switch over to QR codes, then going to live theater will become just like every other thing we do in our real lives these days. You'll look over the audience and see nothing but a sea of people staring at their phones. Live theater is about the analog experience of seeing art created in front of you, something that will never be seen again, and the program is very much a part of that for me. Also, let's not normalize phone use in theaters. That is my verdict.
Judge Krause, what's our next case?
So, you may be familiar with Kelly Ripa. She has a new host on her show. Ryan Seacrest has gone back to hosting American Idol. So, Mark Consuelos, her husband, is now the co-host of this very popular show, which runs from 9 until 10 on a lot of markets. And it starts off with about a 20-minute chat. It's really long, of the two of them, just talking about what they did the night before and where they went for dinner, all that kind of stuff. Well, that's the past. Now that it's husband and wife up there, Mark Consuelos gave an interview and he says, the magic of what we bring is our relationship. And he said, we will present a united front on every aspect of the show. And yes, that openness applies when it comes to our sex lives. So my question to you is, how much do we really need to know about celebrities?
I kind of like the detective work of being on Twitter and the people you follow, sort of surveying who's together with who, who's dating who, who's cheating on who. When I know everything about what's going on in a celebrity's life, it takes away that air of mystery. It becomes a little boring. I don't want to know about Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos. I'd like to leave some things to the imagination and keep the detective work on Twitter.
For some reason, I love Kelly Ripa. I just love, I love how confident she is and the way she just walks, or like she prances out in her outfits, and I love how she presents herself, and I love everything about Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos, and I don't even like celebrity fandom. I'm not into it, but I think this show is going to be a hit, and I wish them all the best because I'm already laughing and I don't know what I'm laughing about. That's what they do.
They do make people feel good.
Yeah. And I think that we already know them. And so the effort of the show to just hang out for an hour, you are really going to get a piece of their life, and I'm all for it. I will start watching this show again.
Here's my verdict. Oig. I don't need the details of the sex lives of the people that I watch on TV, and neither do you. I know that times have changed and social media has given us an openness that didn't exist on this level before, but I think when we know too much about actors and TV types, it doesn't make them more relatable. Instead, it takes some of the magic away, as Ben was saying. Elizabeth Taylor didn't talk about hemorrhoid cream, and we never saw Cary Grant do an ad for Depends. It was a quieter time back then, but because we knew little about the stars day to day, we were able to look at them and escape the mundane when we saw them on screen. Now that we know about Kelly Ripa's sex life, the magic is gone, and that is my verdict.
Judge Krause, what is the third case?
Okay, we can talk about this now a little bit, although I'm wary of giving away too many details. So I'm going to talk around something, and you'll understand in a second. Recently, on the show Succession, about 2 weeks ago, it took a turn that no one saw coming, shook up its storyline with the unexpected death of a major character. There are no spoilers here. If you haven't seen it, you'll have to go back to find out who. Or you can just go on Twitter and check out any of the hundreds of articles that trumpeted the news the very next morning without the benefit of the spoiler alert. The Daily Mail even ran a front page obituary for the character. So if you went to bed early or you weren't able to see the show, you were robbed of the surprise that everyone else got to see of letting the show unfold in front of you in real time. And my question to you then is, does it ruin the movie or television experience for you if you know about a major plot twist in advance?
Yes, but you went to bed early. So it's not the Daily Mail's fault. I don't think people should try to protect you from information that's already out there. But I hear you. A spoiler is the worst. My brother called Usual Suspects a few minutes into that movie. He'd never seen it before. And I didn't believe him, but he just ruined the whole thing.
Most of the time, I'm actually not a fan of spoiler warnings because I think too many things have been considered spoilers that are really just plot details of movies. However, if it is a major narrative twist, if it's a huge shakeup, I think a 3-day buffer window is usually safe. I will never forget the day Mark Tang, our board operator, saw a movie called Split. And I won't ruin what happens at the end of that movie, but he told me what happened at the end of Split. And I was like, how could you do that? How could you do that?
I saw Million Dollar Baby, the Hilary Swank movie, which came out and has a major plot twist. I saw it months before it was released. I came home and by accident told my wife what the twist was, and it was an accident. And it was icy around here for about a month afterwards. So here is my verdict on this. I know that people get excited about the twists and turns in their favorite movies and TV shows and want to talk about them, but can we please have some sort of statute of limitations? When I review movies, I give people the information they need to know to get interested in the film, but not enough to ruin the experience. If it is possible, or if it is impossible to describe something without giving something away, I use a spoiler alert in big letters and bolded. I certainly don't give away anything in the headline or without fair warning. That, I think, is just rude, Mark Tang. Spoiler alerts don't have to last forever, though. We all know how Romeo and Juliet ends, and here's one for you. The ship sinks at the end of Titanic. But let's set some limits for story reveals. Let's say at least 3 days for TV and a week for movies. It's not that tough, and it would give people a chance to catch up. And that is my verdict.
Thank you kindly, Judge Krause. Wishing you a lovely weekend.
Thank you, Richard.
Right back at you. Thanks for having me.
Call it out, Mark Tang, the judge has ordered you to the bench.